We are up to Perek Dalad Mishnah Ches, Chapter 4, Mishnah 8 of Maseches Eirvin. The Mishnah begins, Im Eino Makir, O She'inu Baki Bahalacha. Let's say you have someone who's traveling on the road and he doesn't know of any landmark that's ahead of him that he can establish his residence, or he doesn't know. The previous Mishnah that we've been discussing had the case of someone who saw like a tree in front of him or something, or some sort of a landmark that he can say, oh, this is my residence, so that will be my residence. So let's say he doesn't know of a residence that's in front of him, either he doesn't see or he just is not aware of it, something like that. Or let's say he's not a baki b'halacha. Let's say he just doesn't know the law, the halacha that allows him to designate the place afar as a residence. Va'amar shvi sasi v'mkomi, and he therefore says, as a result of either one of those two factors, he says, my place of rest, my residence for Shabbos is going to be in my current place. So what happens? Sim zachalo mekomo al payim amal l'chol ruach. He gets his residence is established right where he is because he stood there and he said, this is my residence. And he basically, so not only does this become his residence, but he acquires the 2,000 amos around him, l'kol ruach, in every single direction. Now, we've been using this idea of 2,000 amos in every direction for a very long time, but we've never defined it. What does it mean to have 2,000 amos in every direction? And essentially what it comes down to is that there are two options. One is that there is the option of a circular circumference of 2,000 amos in every direction in the shape of a circle, or 2,000 amos in the shape of a square. And it happens to be that that's a machlokas between two tanaim. So let's see what the Mishnah says. Agulos. One perspective says that the tchum forms an agula, like a circle, a circular area, and the circular area has a diameter of 4,000 amos, with the person's residence, with their place of living, is going to be in the center. But basically, they have a circular circumference of 4,000 amos. Zivrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. This is what Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says. V'chachamim omer, but the chachamim say no. Merubaos ketavla merubaos. That the tchum is formed as like a square, meaning like a square board that measures, 4,000 amos on each of the sides. So in other words, what it comes down to is that you have these two. Well, let's finish this mission up, and then we'll explain a little bit more. Kadeshi hey niskar lazavis, so that he can gain the ability or the right to go more than 2,000 amos toward each of the corners of the square. Because essentially what happens is over here is that the circle will form a 2,000 amos circumference, which will basically say that he can only walk 2,000 amos in every single direction. That's what Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says. However, what the Chachamim are arguing is that what we allow for is 2,000 amos in each direction, but we never spoke about the squares, and therefore the squares, we never spoke about the corners, and therefore what the corners allow is that we're actually allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos towards the corner, because if you imagine in your mind that you've put a circle inside of a square, and the circle is reaching each of the four sides of the square, there's still these little triangles or similar shapes to triangles in each of the corners, because there is room that is not filled up by the circle. So essentially what this comes down to is that if you form a circular circumference around 2,000 amos, from 2,000 amos in every direction from the person, so you'll end up with a nice 4,000 diameter circle. But if you have a square, then you'll end up with 2,000 amos north, south, east, and west, and towards north, and towards each of the corners, northeast, northwest, etc. So in each of those corners will be slightly more than 2,000 amos because of that extended area. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos and the Chachamim. Mishnah 9 gives presents the question of what do we need to establish an Eirv? We've been saying that a person can establish an Eirv just by speaking the words, that this is my Eirv, right? So is that true that we allow anyone to make an Eirv with words, or do we require that a person actually use food and then we were just make it in some situations? So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Mishnah Tes, Mishnah 9, says the Mishnah, V'zohi sh'amru ha'ani me'ariv b'raglav. This halacha, that when we said that a traveler can make a place as residence, is included in what the Chachamim said, that a poor person can make an Eirv Tchumen with his feet. Meaning, in other words, by saying this idea, is that the reason why a traveler is allowed to say that this such and such place is my residence, even though he has no food, is because the Chachamim made this comment previously, that the poor person can make an Eirv Tchumen out of his feet. And what does it mean out of his feet? It means that he can go to a place and when he's there when Shabbos begins, that will establish, or saying that this will be the place where his Erev is, that will establish the Erev. He can do it with words. The question is, though, however, does this extend to other people? What about a wealthy person, right? So again, so in other words, what we just said includes a poor person, and a traveler is considered a poor person because we assume the traveler doesn't have food to establish the Erev. Okay, but what about another kind of person? What about a wealthy person? Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Anu ein lanu ela ani. We only have this law for a poor person, meaning a poor person can establish an Erev without food and just with words. As the poor guy doesn't have any food, and therefore the traveler can do the same. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Echad ani ve'echad ashir. Whether you're poor or you're rich, one can establish their residence in a place simply by being there. And this is actually the main way of making an Erev. So again, I apologize. Not with words. The option is, can I do it with my... it being my physical location, or must I do it with food? Rabbi Meir says I can do it only for a poor person, and essentially also by extension a traveler can do it by being in that place, can establish his residence by being in that place. And Rabbi Yehuda says that that a poor or a wealthy person can do it by using their feet. And the thought is, by Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is that it's very simple. One can buy a house and live in a house in theory without any food, and it's still his place to live. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's how you make a regular place of living. So why shouldn't the Erev, which is all about establishing a residence for myself, why should that not also be done by a regular place of living? So as long as I'm physically there, then we're all good to go. Lo amru ma'arvin bapas elo lahakel al ha'asher shalo yitzei v'yarev b'raglav. And the only reason, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the rabbis said that an Erev has to be made with bread or any type of food as we discussed, or other types of food as we discussed. Okay, the only reason why that rule exists is to make it easier for a wealthy person. Why? How is it going to make it easier for a wealthy person? And again, not necessarily someone who's wealthy, but someone who could afford food. Which obviously not everyone can't, but I would say the majority of the population can. They made this law for a person who is wealthy and able to afford food, so that he doesn't have to go out and make an Erev with his feet. Meaning he doesn't have to physically go find the residence and wait there until Shabbos begins and say, "This is my residence." He can send a messenger and say, "Just put the food there," and that will work for me to establish my Erev. So in other words, it's a leniency for those who have a little more money so they can buy food. But again, for a poor person or someone who's a traveler who doesn't have any food, they can easily go out there and just physically stand there, and that will establish the Erev. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Tes. God willing, next time I'll continue with Mishnah Yud, but for now we'll stop right here.